What if I told you there was a way to solve your biggest practice challenges and connect with a thriving community all in one place? Well, the wait is over. The Best Practices Association app is here. Now available on the Apple Store and Google Play Store, this app is a way to get solutions in the palm of your hands. And the best part? It's 100% free to join. So don't wait. Download the Best Practices Association app now and start transforming the way you practice dentistry. Yo, yo, yo. Hey guys, welcome back to another amazing edition of the Best Practices Show podcast. It's the end of the week. It is Friday. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope your week has been a good one. And I got a special episode. Our job is to help you think better about your practice, what happens in those ops, and with all of those patients. We did a webinar recently, myself and Dr. Barrett Straub, our CEO. The title was How to Break Free from PPOs. We do a deep dive in this webinar, and we show you exactly how to break free from PPOs, what to do, what to gather, what steps to take, and then how to choose which one to drop first. It was so good. I enjoyed it so much that I thought we should share the audio of this on the podcast. So please listen up. I hope you guys enjoy this, and I hope you have a great weekend. We'll see you soon. For those of you guys that have been here before, welcome back to the ACT Dental BPA community. And for those of you that are here for the first time, thank you for being here. Appreciate you guys. We love doing this stuff. So today you're going to see it's a lot of information. I can talk for 4 hours on this stuff and so can Barrett, but we're going to limit it to maybe an hour. How's that?
Sounds good.
All right. You're sounding good. Let's go ahead and jump into it. Good. Yeah.
You sound
amazing. Let me see.
Space for radio, I've been told. So
that's not true. You've got it all, man. All right. Cool. So can you see my screen okay?
Yes. Looks good.
All right. Thank you guys for being here. Now, just a couple notes. I did put the CE in the chat. So halfway through, Barrett, if you don't mind, just copy that and put that back in. For those of you who want the replays and all of these, we have them all back in the BPA, which I'm going to talk about in a second. We're creating an ultimate ecosystem for support for the independent practice owners. And this is a big topic, breaking free from PPOs. Now, this is a very important, I'm going to go through step by step by step as much as I can in 1 hour, but we are super passionate about this. And I want to start with some of the basic stuff. If you're just kind of, you know, being a dentist is hard and owning your own business, it's hard too. And you can't talk to yourself. And if you're kind of struggling and you're looking for a group of people to hang out, we have an amazing community. It's called the To the Top Study Club. We meet quarterly. We also have our virtuals. And you're going to be surrounded by some of the best thinkers, best business owners in all of dentistry. Now, selfishly, I love it because I actually learn quite a bit in these days. It's one day. We do them here in Milwaukee, and you can come for free. There's nothing better than free. You can actually come. It's our golden ticket. You can kick the tires. You can take all the information. I promise you, you'll be overwhelmed. It's a lot of information. And you can say, hey, I enjoyed it, but not my thing. We'll shake hands, call it a good day, and we'll even feed you. So make sure you check that out. And Gina and Courtney on our team will be your personal concierge. Make sure you guys feel at home. So make sure you join us for the To the Top Study Club. Also, we only do three things around here, and people always ask, like, what do you do? I have friends of mine that have no idea what I do. We only do three things. We are so passionate about how we help dentists. We coach dentists, but we have three ways we do it. You as a dentist and a team member, you can do it on your own, which means we have an incredible, like I said, ecosystem that we're adding stuff every single day to called the Best Practices Association. And what's really cool is you can join the journey for free. You can go back on the Apple Store or the Google Play Store and you can search Best Practices Association. We have an app and you can join the journey for free. And then you can upgrade to premium and teams to get more and more solutions to the challenge that you have. The second thing that we do is you can do it in a group, which is the To the Top Study Club that I've already mentioned. Don't do this alone. It's way too hard. You weren't meant to do anything alone. Be surrounded by some great people that help you think better. Remember when your mom said, or your dad said, you're the average of the five people you hang around with most? Here's my challenge to you. Hang around with some cool people that challenge you. It's a good opportunity. And then lastly, if you've tried everything, and this is for the serious student, you're like, I really want to do this. I don't have time to do this. Please help me. We can send an expert pro coach to your office and help you get this done and hold you accountable. And that's our pro coaching program. And you can find all of this, again, back on the BPA. So if you do nothing today, just do yourself a favor and download the Best Practices Association app and stay tuned for all the cool things that are going to be heading your way. So anything you want to add, Barrett, before we start rolling?
No, I like it. Let's keep going.
All right. So let's talk about why this is important. Like people call, I got to get off PPOs. I'm going to drop this PPO. No, hold on. Let's pause here. Let's talk about the why this is so important. Remember this. There's a lot of negative narrative going on right now, but I'm going to remind you, dentistry is the greatest profession ever, because you make the rules. You don't have to live by anybody's rules. You can practice where you want. You can choose your hours. You can practice the style of dentistry. You can charge whatever you want. No one makes the rules. You know who makes the rules? You make the rules. And when you choose how to practice, let me say that again, choose how to practice. When you practice, with whom you practice, and who you serve, it's the best thing ever. When you have no choice of when you practice, who you practice with, that's when anything, and I do mean anything, becomes miserable. So today, it's not about PPOs. It's about your freedom. And let's be real. PPO participation can put a chokehold on that freedom. And let me plant a seed with you. It puts a chokehold on that freedom. You can give away discounts when you move away from PPOs to who you choose. When you get involved with PPOs, you don't have a choice. You're giving discounts to everybody, people you don't even know. And so you're losing the autonomy you signed up for to be a dentist. And so we want to help you reclaim that freedom. Also, I want to make this super clear because people come up to us and they go, you're the out-of-network people. No, we are not. We are not anti-insurance. We are pro better practice, better life. I want you to have an amazing life. I actually don't care what you produce. I don't care what kind of dentistry. It's an important conversation. I just care about what your life looks like. And do you enjoy it? We spend 30% of our lives at work. Please take the time to make yourself better and your practice better that you can enjoy going to work.
Yeah, Kirk, let me comment on this point because it's really important about anti-insurance. Participating with PPOs is a choice that you've made. And we also feel sometimes limited by that choice. But what I want to say is it doesn't have to be all or none. And a lot of people make the choice. It's either I'm in PPOs and I provide with all of them, or I'm not at all. And there's a large spectrum between that. And what you'll get from today is some of you won't want to contract with any PPOs. Many of you will still always contract with some PPOs. The goal is to have the business acumen and the right mindset to determine what the right mix is for you so that your days look the way you want them, so that your profitability looks the way you want it and need it. And that's not a one size fits all for everyone, but we're here to give you the tools so you can make the decision whether totally out of network is your goal, or is it something short of that? And is it a hybrid or a limited exposure to PPO? And so we're just going to help you think at a higher level so that you can make very data-driven decisions for your business.
It's so well said, brother. If you're 100% PPO, we get people that come here and they're 100% PPO and they go 75% PPO. That's a huge win. You're reclaiming profits, time, and you're enjoying going to work. So let's just talk about improvement. And what's important is that you are in control of your destiny. PPOs aren't, you know what I mean? Patients aren't, you are. And when you shift this mindset, you're opening the door to the freedom you deserve when you went into this profession to begin with. So making the move towards insurance independence, it's going to feel overwhelming. It just is. We're going to make it as simple as possible. And if you follow the treatment plan we give you today, and you do it over and over again. The third time you do this, we're going to give you the same treatment plan every time. It's called the PPO roadmap. The third time you do this, you're going, I got this. I know how this works. You're going to be more and more confident each and every time. But there is a solution. We're going to start with this. You have to know your gaps. Now, I'm going to explain this. You can take a screenshot if you want of this, but this is like how the gaps work. Dr. Barrett Straub, our CEO, who is a private care, private fee-for-service dentist for, 20 years.
20
yeah. years. And now he's our CEO, designed this. It's brilliant. And what it does is it tracks every dollar of potential production and all the effort that goes into it and the actual dollars that hit your bank account. Some of you use a P&L. That's helpful, but it doesn't tell you the whole story. And while the webinar today is not about this, I want to cover this. The effort gap is the difference between your gross production and what your net collections will be. And in there are your write-off percentages, your write-off totals, your net production, how many days, and I do want to say that how many days, according to the ADA, the average dentist in the United States works 220 days. That is crazy. Before COVID, if we found anyone in 200, we thought that was a lot. And now in the last few weeks, we found people at 240, 250. People are working harder and harder and harder for less. We don't want you to do that. The effort gap is critical. And here's why you need to know your effort gap. At ACT, we talk a lot about the gaps, but for good reason, because this is where you can actually diagnose the entire practice. And people don't, you know, there's inherent challenges. Knowing your write-offs is simple. The first part, which is a challenge for most people, is billing your full fee. You don't put in your full fee. You don't. I'm going to challenge you. You don't. Because you have somebody else's fee schedule in there. You have, you're leaving out fees. You know, sometimes you do dentistry, you barter it, you don't put it in the computer. The challenge is, number one, you got to put in your full fee every single time, even if you're 100% PPO, so that they can see your crown fee is $1,600 and the allowable is only $795. So that when you move away, they go, I knew that the whole time. Now that might be overwhelming, but the truth is you have to make this as simple as possible. And ultimately, you have to understand the power of write-offs in dentistry and how dangerous they are. The average dentist is writing off more than 40% of what they gross produce, which means they're working almost half of their days for free. Half of the 220 days, almost, they're working for free. I would argue that they're actually working for less than free because your office is open and you have to pay people and you got to pay rent and you got to pay supplies. So knowing this, you can reduce it. The effort gap, bottom line, is driving. It's the driving force for why so many practice owners are discovering why to explore dropping PPOs. And I agree. Then you've got your collections gap, which is the difference between collectible production, which is actually collectible, and your net collections. So some of us that are listening to this are at 94, 95%. That's not great. I love what Robin says on our team. 95% is an A in school. It's not an A in the collections gap. It's a C in the collections gap. So we want to be at 100% or 101% or even 103% because now you owe patients dentistry. And that comes with great development in somebody talking about money up front. And Robin also said this last week. I love it. I love learning from our coaches because when people have a collections gap problem, it's not an AR problem. It's a financial arrangements problem. Like you just got to fix it at the conversation. So this is fixable. Then you have your overhead gap, which is your actual dollars that you use to lower your tax liabilities that are, you know, legitimate expenses. And then the bottom line, you have your cash flow gap, which is what you don't see on your P&L. Here's the dangerous part. And again, I don't have time to get into this. Your loan payments and your tax payments are not on your P&L. And most dentists don't know that because they just look at what's at the bottom of their P&L and their accountant goes, you're doing great. And dentists go, well, I don't have any money. It's because no one's looking in the cash flow gap. So you got to know your gaps. Now, that's step number one. Step number two is before we get into dropping PPOs, we're going to give you a layup. Barrett always says this around here. Instead of hitting a home run, let's hit some singles first. And I love that. And so here's some basic singles we want you to hit because people get all fired up. You start looking at your write-offs and you get angry. you start looking at what PPO is, don't do that. Let's stay positive here. I can get fired up too. There's basic stuff we want you to do. Number one is active patient count. Most people don't know how many active patients do they have. And that's an important piece. And really, as a great dentist, you don't need 4,400. Our best dentists, think about this. If you're a single doctor, now you could extrapolate if you have multiple doctors, you only need 1,500 patients. That's it. There's 331 million people in this great world. You don't need all of them. You only need 1,500. If you have two full-time hygienists, you only need 750 each. So get your brain around like, I don't need everybody. I just need the right people that value what I do that say, you're my person. Unscheduled active patient count. Here's another single you can hit in your practice. Just pull this number. I promise you it'll give you chest pain. A lot of our offices will pull this number. They'll go, wait a minute. I have 700 unscheduled active patients? Yes. Those are patients that have had an appointment in the last 18 months, but they're not tethered to the practice with a future appointment. They're great patients. And you're spending all your time on Facebook ads and designing your website and trying to do a marketing campaign. Let's go from 700 to 650 to 600 to 550 to 500 over the next couple of months. I promise you, your hygienist will go, stop. I have nowhere to put these people. These are people,
Kirk,
that are—
what happens to an unscheduled active patient over time?
They disappear into the
universe.
They
become inactive.
They become inactive. They leave. Oh, and I know what you're thinking. No, we get them all. No, you don't. You don't. People aren't thinking about, when do I go to the dentist every day? If you don't tether them to the practice, they free float into the universe. So tether them to your practice. Don't let people— here, I'll give you a quick tip today. If you're a hygienist, there's something called the seatbelt. It's called the bib. Don't let your patients touch the bib. If a patient touches the bib, say, no, don't touch it. I'm the only one who touches the bib. Because the second you take off the bib, they sprint to the exit. You never take off the bib unless what? The appointment's scheduled for the next one. Only do that for the good patients. So the next one is APV. It's an important metric to understand. Now, this is your favorite, Barrett. Give us one minute on this one. What does APV mean?
This might be the best dental KPI in the dental business. Annual patient value. So this tells you, how do you get to your gross production? And so let's say there's a practice and they produce gross true production $1 million. There's two ways to get there. You can get there via doing a lot of dentistry on a few patients, or a little bit of dentistry on a ton of patients. And two different practices could get to $1 million. So what APV, annual patient value, is literally the last 12 months of collections divided by active patients. And it gives you a dollar value. If that APV number is $300, $400, that means you are doing high volume, seeing a lot of patients, doing one to two teeth to get to your gross production. If that number is $1,000 or more, that means you are low volume, high profitability, meaning you are doing a larger amount of dentistry on each patient. Therefore, you need to see less patients. Neither one is right or wrong, but each end of that spectrum tells a different story about business model, business strategy, capacity, and what your days feel like. And again, we're trying to give you the tools so you can say, I'm over here and I actually want to be over there, or vice versa, or I want to be right in the middle. So APV is, I think, the most powerful KPI. It tells us so much about a dental practice just with one metric.
Imagine, I love that. Imagine if we hired you— you're listening to this— we hired you as a coach, and I go, I'm going to give you our new client, and you get to look at their APV first. You know, I'm going to give you one of two clients, one that has a 300 APV or one that has an $1,100 APV. You already can make assumptions on the trust, the value, the conversations, the speed. So it's important. Now, no one has a perfect APV. All you have to do is improve it. And what I want you to see out of this is there's so much opportunity before you start dropping PPOs. Do the basics. Cancellation percentage is a big one. If your cancellation percentage is 12%, meaning appointments scheduled and canceled, not kept for their original purpose, is 12%, I can already tell you people don't trust you. They don't value you. So your team, you have two people up at the front and they're scrambling. They're spending 75% of their day putting out fire after fire after fire because they're trying to keep the schedule full. So we need to reduce that percentage greatly. New patient count, you got to have a healthy stream of new patients that come into your practice for the right reasons. And you got to know where they're coming from if you're going to put any money into marketing. The new patient referral source, where are these patients coming from? A significant amount of them should be coming from referral going, I know you're expensive. I've been a lot of places. I hear you're great. That should be telling you what the word on the street is all about. And then lastly, for singles that you can hit with basic metrics, it's the new patient reappoint to hygiene percentage. You all have your own philosophy, but here's the thing. You got to have people tethered to your hygiene. So a lot of you have new patients come in to see the doctor, and that's all you're thinking about. So you have a brand new patient, great patient comes in, and you present a $22,000 treatment plan, and then your treatment coordinator stalks them for the next 6 months, and they're not picking up. Well, you didn't have them tethered to the practice. They're a great patient, but they just weren't ready to hear that. If I'm going to be working in your office, I'm going to schedule an appointment with the doctor, no matter how we do this, and I'm also going to make sure you have a hygiene appointment at some point in during this conversation so you're tethered in two ways. I hope that makes sense, but new patient reappointment to hygiene is critical. And I'm going to say new patient appointment to hygiene right away, even if we go see the doctor. So, and here's what I want to say before we get into this. I'm going to show you a lot of stuff. I promise you, you're going to be overwhelmed. I'm going to walk you through the segments and how we do it, but you're going to be like, you're going to be hyperventilating. You can get all of this in the Best Practices Association app. So I want you to go back there and I want to want you to search PPO Roadmap. You're going to see what I'm going to take you through today is actually back there. And what we're going to focus on today, there's too much in this to show you right now, but what we're going to focus on today is what do we do and where do we start when it comes to dropping PPOs? And we're going to talk about PPO segments and the segment scorecard. So you're going to find that scorecard in the Best Practices Association app. Now, some of you have questions about gaps. We also have an amazing roadmap back there called the GAPS tool, Financial Gaps at a Glance. It tells you step by step by step how to do this. We've taken a lot of time to do this. You can just read it. If you want to do it on your own, go for it. We've laid out the entire treatment plan and all of our secrets in these roadmaps. One more thing. If you join Basic for free, you're going to see there's the PPO Freedom Quick Start course, which is the basic course. It's going to be similar to this, but I'm going to encourage you to upgrade to the premium course, which is the detailed level. And in the PPO Freedom course, it'll hold your hand through step by step with videos with downloads. It doesn't get any better than that. And Miranda Beeson, our director of education, and one of our amazing coaches is the lead in that course. So you're going to see that back there. Now, I'm actually going to give you a glimpse of the full premium PPO course. But I want to say this before we do. Every successful change process, and I do mean every successful change process, first starts with the same first step, which is telling the truth. If you know anybody that's been through AA, you have to start with telling the truth. I'm an alcoholic. When you go through a weight loss program, you have to start with like figuring out what my weight is today. Whatever it is, we have to start with extreme accuracy in telling the truth. And how you're going to do that is through the patient segment scorecard in the PPO roadmap. Now, I'm actually going to do one for you today. Then, if you're watching this, we're going to treatment plan it together just like our coaches would. Sound like a good deal? All right, so you're going to see in the patient segment scorecard, there's a couple things we're going to ask. Now, I'll tell you the hardest part. I had a new client ask us this week, what's the hardest part? I'm like, you got to do the work. People want results, but they don't want to do any of the homework. They don't want to like look at their money. They don't want to look at any of this. They're like, just tell me I need the data. And so we're going to ask for a few data points in there. And you're going to see each one of these points to a different segment. Not all patients are equal in value to the practice. Let me explain. I'm going to go through each one of these. Now, this is an actual real practice that we coach. It's a larger practice. So when you look at the numbers, you're going to go, whoa, but let's take this in perspective. I'm going to break this down so you get an idea. I took all these numbers, just summed them up for you so you're not overwhelmed. This is a practice that's gross production per year is $6.7 million. They write off $1.7 million and their write-offs are 25%. Now, it's actually an amazing practice with a ton of opportunity. They do some great continuing education, but I want you to think about it, 25.7%, which means they work one out of every 4 days for free, basically, or even more than that. So they go in 4 days a week, and one of them is just for free. Don't do that anymore. So their net production is $5.0 million, their collections is $4.9 million, and their active patients is $442. Now, I want to say one more thing. People say, well, I have a $6.7 million practice. No, you don't. This is a $4.9 million practice. Its production doesn't mean anything. Like, this is not a $6.7 million. It's a $4.9 million practice because we can't do anything with potential production. We can only do things with actual dollars. So how do we break this down? We have to know which plan to drop first. I've got a step-by-step treatment plan.
Hey, here, Kurt.
Yes, please.
Go back to that slide once. I just want to layer on just an idea. So the whole point of a gap is the larger the gaps, the less profit flows to the bottom. The larger each of these four gaps, the less each dollar of production is remaining at the end of the day. So as the whole foundation for the financial gaps model that we've developed and coach on means, as a small business owner, I always want to know how much money can I actually put in my personal checking account at the end of the month? How much of that production that I just did this month do I actually get to take? Because that's, from a financial perspective, what every small business owner and every practice owner ultimately wants to know. And so what I want you to understand here in the gross production and the effort gap with the write-offs is how much production. Another way to look at that is production takes effort, right? There's gloves and there's blood, sweat, and tear, and there's cotton rolls and there's hours and there's time away from home. It takes effort to produce 6.7. So how much effort or how much gross production do I need to produce in order to collect 4.9? In this case, we've got to do 6.8 million in order to have revenue of 4.9. Now, obviously, if we could shrink that gap and say, well, last year I did 6.8, but sometimes you can either go one of two ways. You could say, I'm actually going to still produce 6.8, but I'm now, that's going to result in 5.5 of collections. Some people we've even said, well, I'm actually going to do 6.2 and collect and still collect 4.9, right? So there's two different ways for this gap to shrink. Both with the same collections, but there's a difference in expenditure of energy. And you might say, I'm expending too much effort. I need to reduce that, but I still want my same collections or more. There is a path to do that.
Yeah.
Or you might say, I'm good with my energy. I like it. I just need it to have more collections. There's a path to do that. So I want us to recognize, like, when we say better practice, better life, we mean it.
Yeah.
Like, we don't design what your better life is. We just offer you a couple scenarios and ways to design how your practice can give you the life that you want and not spend too much energy.
So well said, brother. I love that. Love it, love it, love it. And it speaks to another pain point that I have. Like, so many people talk about work smarter, not harder, but no one tells you how to do it. Like, no one treatment plans it with you. And my newest phenomenon, I've been doing this for 31 years. My favorite phenomenon is we have so many docs in the To the Top Study Club, and they're also pro clients, and they come and they describe this phenomenon. They're like, I actually have open time. Like, it's messing with my head. My gross production is dropping, but we're making so much money. They don't know what to do with an hour that's not scheduled because they've built a life of running full speed. And so not running full speed messes with them. They actually think they're not productive, but the gaps tells them differently, you know? So it's cool to watch this happen. And again, all you need is the data. Data removes all emotion. Now, you got to know which plans to drop first. Like we talked about, you're going to do the segments. Here's the first thing you need to work with your team on is helping them understand that there's three segments, there's three different main segments of patients. Let me go through each one of them. You have patients that are out of network or uninsured in your patient base. That's the first segment. The second segment you have is you might have a membership plan. Those are people that are attached to a membership plan. And then the third actual large segment are people that fall into PPOs. And that would include, in this particular example, three different PPOs. So as you can see, like, I want your energy as a team to be around, like, not, you can't spend all of your energy hating the PPO plan. You got to spend all of your energy saying, how do we make this practice better? How do we build more of segment one, which is out of network, more of membership, if that's what you want to do, and let's lessen the influence of PPO. A lot of people start with the things that they are make them crazy. And whatever you focus on grows. So if you're angry about PPOs, I'll just tell you, that whole thing is growing. So here's how we're going to do it. We're going to do step number two, which is we're going to rank by adjustment percentage. We're going to use the same example. And in this example, you're going to see adjustment from gross production. Now, I'm going to point out these because we're going to focus on the PPOs because we're going to drop one of the PPOs or a second PPO. But I want to point out the adjustments from gross production in the two other segments. Look at this, 6% from your out-of-network patients, 25% from your membership patients. And if you look at PPO number one, it's 38%. That's a lot. PPO number two is 42%. That's even more. And PPO number three is 26%. So again, we're going to be careful about this. Now, I just labeled these good or bad, green or red. In this case, I'm going to treatment plan this and I'm going to say, you know, the good one here, if there is such a thing as good PPO, is the 26% write-off. The one that's taken the biggest cut is PPO number two. All you're going to do is look at the data and rank them. That's step number two. Step number one. Step number two is we're going to look at the number of active patients in each segment. So after we look at adjustment percentage, let's take a look at how many people are in each one of these. And I'm going to do the same thing in this one. In this particular case, we have 1,062 patients that are out of network fee for service. You should celebrate that. We have 373 in membership. Somebody, if you do have a membership program, you should have somebody who's responsible for it and growing it. So it should go from 373 to 383 to 393 to 492 over the course of time. Then you have PPO number one. There's 2,004 patients. PPO number two has 103 patients. And PPO number three has 900 patients. So again, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to rank according to number of patients. My opinion as a coach is the red one, because that's the one I want to focus on, is has the least number of patients. The one that I'm going to leave alone for a little bit has the highest number of patients. And here's why. When you start focusing on the one that has the least impact of your practice, your team can actually practice with your practice on how to talk, how to do this. We can do it the right way. Most often, dentists focus on the one that has the most number of patients. Don't do that. There are some simple things we can do. And that's why we're doing this by ranking the number of ranking each one of these inpatient segments. The third thing I'm going to look at is gross production per visit. So when you look at further down on the scorecard, which you'll have, you can look at each one of these. We're going to do the same thing. Out-of-network patients, look at this. Gross production is $575 per visit. Membership patients is 1,043. Now, I actually like this slide the most out of this entire presentation, because 90% of dentists I talk to go, I don't want a membership plan. I'm going to be giving away everything. These people are just going to be one. Well, look at the data. It's pretty interesting when you look at the data. Again, data removes all emotion. And if you can just collect the data will tell you. You don't even need to make a decision. Is a membership plan good for my practice or not? Don't decide. Let the data decide. The production per visit for PPO number one is 603. The production per visit for PPO number two is 573. And the production per visit for, I should say, PPO number three is 535. So it's important here. Now I'm going to rank these again, but I'm going to put number three as the less beneficial and PPO one, number one is like, okay, that's okay for now. I'm going to leave that there. Lastly, I'll go through this. It's collections per visit. And then we're going to treatment plan this. Do the same thing. Out-of-network collections per visit is 535. Look at this. membership, and again, I have this labeled the right, membership collections per visit. This is a lot of numbers, and you guys know I'm not a numbers guy. 784. So again, let the data decide. Collection per visit, PPO number one is 370, 332, and 392. So I would swap those. And again, this is the cool part. And our coaches here at Act Dental, this is what we do. We're just taking a look at these segments. We're going to rank them by each one of these and then make a thoughtful, intentional decision around what we do next. So let's do it together. But before we do, I want you to consider a couple things. Once you fill the scorecard out, you're going to have so much data in front of you. You can actually make a really good decision about what's important in the next step of your practice. And you can consider three options. Here's the first one. You could just say, and a lot of this is regarding your risk. You could drop all the PPOs. You could say, I'm just done with this. And we did have many people through COVID and even after, like, I'm just done. Help me get out of this. That's an option. You could drop some of them, which is what I'm going to recommend for this practice. Or you could retain all of them. That's the cool part of having this. Now you have a scorecard. Now you can decide, like a treatment plan, what you're going to do first based on who you are and what you want for your practice. You have to determine this order thoughtfully. It's critical. And it'll help you retain as many patients. And I'm actually going to give you a great tip on how to retain these patients. Now, let's treatment plan this practice together. So, Barrett, I want you to help me. Now that we've done this, I'm going to go first. You go second. We may not agree, but like, let's go there. So I'm looking at this practice that we actually coach right now. And there's a couple of things that point out to me. I'm going to say, let's drop PPO number two first. And I'll tell you my reason. It's like you and I are looking at this very complex case. You know, every dentist has an opinion. I'm not a dentist, but you know how this works. So my opinion is I'm going to go after PPO number two because it has 103 patients. It's got a pretty bad write-off percentage. And this is important to look at, but this is an easy layup. Now I'm going to add one more part of my treatment plan and tell me if you agree. If I own this practice, we're going to do this in 6-month intervals. Here's why. I'm going to get my team aligned on the thinking. This is not about just kicking PPOs. It's about creating a better experience for us and our patients. And what we're going to do is we're going to practice with less desirable PPOs in our practice. So we're going to take 6 months. I like 6 months for this reason. Number one, we're going to make a decision. We're getting our systems in place. I'm going to show you a few of those in a second. I'm also going to have some conversations with patients, telling them what's ahead. You're going to be able to see a lot of these patients, not all of them, but some of them. You could say, Mrs. Jones, I just wanted to share with you a couple changes we're going to be making in the future to better care for our patients, and here's one. We're not just going to send them a letter and kick them out. Now, you might have a high risk tolerance. You're like, I'm just done with it. I'm going to send a letter. This is where you get to decide. Barrett, you tell me your thought. Treatment plan this for me. Where would you start?
I agree. PPO number two is by far the easiest and the most obvious to drop first. Why? You're writing off 42% of every production dollar that comes in. So you're probably breaking even at best. In many cases, we're likely losing money. So it's not a profitable patient segment. Number two, there's only 103. And so with that being said, you could really screw this process up and all 103 go away and you're fine.
Yeah.
You know, so I want to point some out. So the whole idea of dentistry can be lonely. Leadership can be lonely. Running a business can be lonely. And the idea of messing with PPOs can be scary. And I empathize with that. And so many people will tell you what to do and not how to do it. And so I'd encourage you, come in, upgrade to the BPA premium, and we're going to tell you exactly what to do step by step. We're actually not going to then tell you what decision to make, but you'll know what to do after we guide you through which data in which order to pull. And so when you, and does this take a little work for you to dig and find these numbers? Absolutely. And when you do it, you can say, okay, this PPO number two, man, I'm losing money on them. There's only 103. Let's practice this process, like Kirk said, on these patients. Let's write the letters. Let's develop the phone communication. Let's field the questions that we're going to get from them and learn how to respond to those. And let's, as a team, kind of battle through it knowing, yeah, we might lose half of those people. And what's going to happen when we lose those people? That chair time is going to be filled with some of those other patient segments. And what do we know about every other patient segment? Where we collect more money when they get in the chair.
Right.
So we're going to make more money by failing when these people leave our practice. And so, and our team is going to show, are going to see, like, even on our first time when we're messing up, a lot of these people are staying.
Yeah.
And it just can give us confidence that, okay, we actually can do this. And it doesn't mean you're going to drop all three of these, but it makes you constantly look at this. You're going to, this will be your favorite data thing to look at as a PPO dentist to say, which of my patient segments should I be focusing on? Which are highly profitable and which aren't as much? And which do I need to limit access to? And there's just so much right here. This is an MBA in dentistry right here.
It is.
Yep. Between APV and this, you are an MBA in running a dental practice, just in terms of financial gaps, profitability, patient segments. How do you get, what's your production story to get to APV? And all those other numbers that are so important to track, they're only important after we know this stuff.
Yeah. I love what you said. I just want to add one thing that you said to what you said so brilliantly is all of these myths that you have actually aren't true. Like, you're thinking everyone will leave. They don't. You know, you're thinking, oh, this isn't going to work for my practice. It will. Here's why. When you look at the data, and we're going to give you a few more things to do, it all works. You have to understand we're geeks about this stuff. I love this stuff. I could talk about this stuff all day long. And it's so predictable when you do it right. Now,
hey, let's quickly, we just got a question from Rachel, my classmate. Hi, Rachel. It's good to see you here. What's your thoughts? And I love this question. Okay, let's look at PPO one.
Okay.
What's your thoughts if a PPO has a lot of patients and a high write-off?
Ooh. Here's my first thought is, number one, I'm going to be looking at the first column out of network. So if it's zero, we got to go to two. Then we got to go to four. Then we got to go to 10 patients out of network. That you said this so brilliantly a couple of years ago. The issue is not PPOs. It is. The real issue is how many people come to you and pay your full fee. That's the crux of the issue. And that's the first question I would ask. Would you agree or disagree?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you nailed it. It's not that the PPO one has 2004 patients. I mean, that is it. It is that PPO number one limiting access by the first two columns of people which are more profitable?
Yeah.
Right. And so it's not that I'm necessarily that I'm a provider in a contract. It is, I'm so overrun by said contract that when a true consumer, meaning an out of network, calls and says, I want to come to you, and we tell them I'm booked 9 weeks out. If I'm that consumer, I'm going to go to a different dentist.
Yeah.
And so that's when we have to start thinking smarter about the access to our chair based on our patient segments. And so you can increase your APV without ever dropping a PPO.
Yeah.
But we do need to protect our time and think strategically about chair time and access and all that stuff. And so that's why we say, if I'm coaching this client, I'm going to say, don't drop PPO, just, you know, don't go there first. That's the highest risk. Let's go to two, then let's go to three, and then let's go to one. Now, all the while, we can be massaging access to our chair time. We can be marketing to those out of network. We can be trying to raise the amount of out of network while limiting the amount of PPO ones without ever dropping them.
Yeah.
All the while our profitability is going up, all the while we haven't dropped PPO one, and all of a sudden we've dropped PPO two. We learned a lot. We did number three. Guess what? We got a lot better. A lot of those patients stayed. We've been increasing and in focusing our marketing on the out of network patients. We've been kind of just limiting access to the PPO one. We're not saying no, but we're not, you know, we're going to manage the patient block scheduling of when that insurance can get in. And so that's kind of plateauing in terms of growth, allowing some of these other segments. All of a sudden our profitability is going up. And then at that point you might say, I'm good. I'm going to stay in that and I'm just going to limit it, or I'm going to drop it.
Yeah.
And we can't make that decision for you. We can just teach you the steps to get there. And again, it's all right here. You just got to come into the BPA and get it, and it guides you through it. It's an awesome question, Rachel.
Rachel, that is such a great question. I'm going to add this. What you don't see on this, is your floor plan. This is the scorecard you have to do now before your practice gets bigger. People build 19 operatory practices to serve this monster, and they've never done the homework of like, how is this working for my practice? So I like the idea of what Barrett just said, like, let's get this on paper before I start, you know, doing any dentistry. You want a treatment plan on a patient. You don't want to just do dentistry. So same thing with your life and your practice. Now, a couple things, Barrett pointed to this. When you take the full PPO course back in premium, you're going to see, you're going to have to learn how to talk to patients, and Miranda's going to walk you through that. You have to get the verbal skills right. I think you guys would all agree listening to this, verbal skills matter. What happens in really great practices is the people that answer the phone are best in the industry and how to answer questions. So you got to get good at that. You got to know what to say and what questions to ask. That's why you have to conduct regular phone training, because your team members have to understand, are you in my network and do you accept my insurance? It's not the same question. And the person who answers your phone has to say, I love that question. Bring it to me. I'm so glad you asked that question. And you have to ensure your administrative team can develop an FAQ. You only get 12 to 13 different questions. You have to build an amazing, repeatable system up front of, when we get this question, here's how I want you to think about it when you're asking patients another question. And then you got to assess whether a membership plan is right for you. I'm going to tell you, do it anyway, and then look at the data every quarter and you can say, is this working for me or is it not working for me? It becomes a great opportunity. Now, one more tip I'm going to give you. Your thought is everyone's going to leave. Shout out to Dr. Christopher Mazzola, and I can't remember the dentist he got this from, but he shared this on a recent conversation we had back in the BPA. He said this, you're going to want to create two procedure codes for each PPO. I love this. This is brilliant. I never thought about this. Here is procedure code number one. It's the PPO name and the patient left the practice. Now you're going to mark it as complete. So if I'm a team member and a patient says, I'm leaving the practice because you're not accepting my insurance, you're going to put this in their chart. You're going to mark it complete, and it's going to be PPO, Kirk Barrett left the practice and it was dated today. Okay. Then you're going to pull a report every 5 months from behind you of whenever that procedure code was completed. That'll tell you exactly who left the practice, for what reason, and on what day. And you could call them 5 months to the day, or 5 months and 29 days to the day, whatever, or 6 months a day, and go, Kirk, you told me 5 months ago you were leaving the practice because we didn't accept your insurance. You okay? Here's what you say. And this is direct from Chris Mazzola. I love this. Hey, we're just calling. We're thinking about you and wanted to see if you found a new dental home. If not, we'd love to get you back in the schedule. We care about you. You'll be amazed by how many people will say, that is so cool. Yes, I haven't found a dental home. I'd love to get back. Code number two is this, the PPO name, and then the patient came back to the practice. So at 5 months, they call me. I come back to the practice. You're going to see two of these entered complete. Kirk left the practice. Kirk came back to the practice. Here's why. When you mark it complete, you can compare data to see how many people truly left your practice. People say, oh, everyone left my practice. That's not true. You can say exactly how many people left your practice, and you can see what date they came back, and this becomes a great way to fill your hygiene with active patients that may have not found a new dental home. So I think we all agree we're going to go after this one. Which one do we do next, Barrett? We'll finish on this.
PPO three.
Tell me why.
Let me look at the numbers. I have to, go back. Let me see the numbers again. In my opinion, because there's less patients than, yeah, there's only 900 and then 2004. Now there's 26, which is lower than 38, collections per visit. You could make a case that this is the best of the three. And yep, and we could have an argument on that, because based on collection per visit, it's 392 versus 370. But in terms of risk, it's still less risky just because there's far few, only 50% or 48% of the patients in PPO 3 to PPO 1. So if you're risk averse like me, I'm doing this one, and I'm going to retain as many of these, and I'm going to convert 60 to 70% of these patients into out-of-network or membership.
Yep.
Because I'm going to keep them, and then I know what happens. Then the collections per visit either turns to 535 or 764. So now you can start to see where you can easily lose 20 to 30% of these, convert them to one of those two other patient segments, and make more money while seeing less patients and have more time to once in a while check an email between a patient. And this is how, because you're managing, you're not just managing how many fillings did I do today and how many patients, you're managing your profitability. Yep. You're managing maximizing the ROI on your time, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, you nailed it. It's exactly what I was, the less risky one is 900 patients, 4,400 patients. That's 1/4 of the patient base or less. You know, PPO number one is almost half of the patient base. So my assumption in this, again, we've been doing this a long time, is that after we do the first, we get rid of PPO number two, the team over 6 months is like, we could totally do this. We didn't lose any of those. We can go to the next one. And the numbers will be different. That's why you have to stay consistent with the scorecard, because you're going to do this at the, you're going to, if you do this now, you're going to have some numbers. If you do this again in 6 months, you're going to see your out of network number will be higher. Your membership number will be higher. You're going to see they'll change. And now you can make even a better decision. You'll have the confidence to do that. And now you can decide what to do after that. Now I'm going to propose today, that's all you do for the next year. Just do those two things. You're going to see your life, your practice, your profitability, and happiness will all get better, and you'll have more confidence to be able to decide what to do next. I'm going to finish with some final takeaways and we can answer a few questions, but let's go back to the beginning. You have to first understand your effort gap. That's number one. That's the big global picture. It's the ultimate instrument for how you run your business before you get into the PPOs. You have to know how much you're writing off. Now you can go further. The segment is a further deep dive into what's really going on in the effort gap. You can see how all this, all every tool is designed to fit into another tool. And then breaking three from PPOs, it's a team effort. I'll just say this up front too. Before you do this, your team has to understand the why. They just can't hear PPOs are bad. Some of them are going to think, well, my mom is on that PPO and you're getting rid of it. Does that mean she can't come here? You have to go slow with your team. They're not going as fast. And having regular conversations around the why will help them implement the how much easier. And I'll just say this, you got to have a coach do it. A coach can say things to your team you can't say. And so I think it's silly not to have a coach. It's a smooth experience for you and your team. But I'm going to encourage you to take the first step today. Bill your full fee and make sure that that shows up in the patient ledger. And if not, start now and then do the ultimate practice scorecard. You'll see you can start to do this quarter over quarter, month over month, and your practice will get better. So let's do this. Let's open it up for questions. Barrett,
yeah, first question was, you know, that form that you had of the PPO, like how do you get that? And so that is part of our PPO roadmap in the BPA. So you're going to go into the BPA. You're going to download the app. You'll be a basic, which is a free membership. And then you're going to upgrade the BPA premium. It's $99 a month. And once you're in there, there's going to be, you're going to see a handful of roadmaps. So our roadmaps are literally like a course guide. Step one, do this. Here's a video. Here's a two. Step two, watch this video. Do this. Download this. Do this. And so we walk you through it. Now, in addition to premium, why it's if this lived when I was a private practicing dentist, I would have been much better off, because there's tools, there's hours of education, there's a million things in there. But in my opinion, the stickiest part and the reason you want to do this today is that you can download the PPO roadmap. There's financial gaps. There's a scheduling roadmap. There's a communications rhythm roadmap. So there's step by step. Again, we don't only want to tell you what you might do or could do. We want to show you exactly how to make that decision for you, which is why we feel really strongly and good about these step by step roadmaps. And that's a higher level access BPA premium.
Love it. Love it. Any other questions we can answer?
There was a question earlier about APV. Does that include hygienists? Yes, APV is total revenue divided by active patients. So it is, again, a calculation of how do you get to your production? How many patients does it take to get to your production is another way to look at APV. Any other questions? Shoot them in there. I'm not seeing any at the moment.
All right.
Awesome.
Well, the conversation continues back in the BPA. If you're consuming this today and you have questions, you can always reach out to us. If you're watching this on the replay, add some questions to the feed or just go into the feed altogether. You're going to see there's an amazing community of people back there. They're just like you. They're like, what do I do with this? And it's amazing how vulnerable they are and how helpful they are. You get one shot at this thing called life, man. But if you do it right and you build your practice right, you can have an amazing practice and an amazing life. So hope you guys enjoyed today and hope you guys join us for TTT back in the BPA. And we're here to help you every step of the way. Brother, thanks for being here. I appreciate you.
Likewise. Thanks, Kirk. This was great.
All right. Have a great day, everybody.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So there you have it. Another great episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And thank you for showing up. I just want to thank you for being here and sharing the good word with your friends. And if you're really enjoying the podcast, could you do me a favor? Could you go to wherever you consume the podcast and just give us a 4 or 5 star review? Here's what that does. It allows us to find other great people like you. I love this profession so much. I'm going to spend the rest of my professional life finding great information so that you can consume it and your friends can consume it so that you can create a better practice and a better life. So keep spreading the word and we will see you guys soon. Have a great day, everybody.